Take your Bibles, and we're going to be in the book of Revelation this evening. Revelation chapter 12, and we will read verses 10 through 12 together. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. And we'll read these all in unison. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. Find Psalms and just keep going till you hit Revelation. All right. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. We'll read them out loud together, starting in verse number 10. Ready? Begin. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Let's pray. God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the salvation plan that we have. Thank you, Lord, that you came down to give us free gift of salvation, eternal life that we can have. And Lord, we thank you for the victory, the overcoming, the conquering that we have through you. I ask you, please just be with us tonight. Would you continue to guard our hearts? Help us, Lord, keep the distractions away. Help us, Lord, to listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open to the book of Revelation chapter 12. Tonight may be new for a few. It's probably a good review for everybody. But either way, it's a truth we all need to be aware of. When we get saved, all of our sins are cared for. Let me say that again. When you get saved, all of your sins are cared for.
Amen.
Past, present, and future. There is not one sin you have committed, are committing, or will commit that if you're saved, salvation doesn't cover it. There's idiots out there that say, well, if somebody kills themselves, then that's the unpardonable sin and they're going to hell. That's nowhere in the scripture. Not there. You say, well, I don't care what you were taught, it was wrong. If God can't save you from all your sin, he can't save you from any of your sins. We don't get to heaven by our goodness and our lack of sin. We get there by the blood of Jesus Christ that covers all sin. All sin is cared for when you get saved. Everybody understand that? All right. That means this. Once you're saved, you can't lose it. There's nothing you can do to back out. Okay, you can't stop being a human. You can't be unborn. Once you've been born again, you can't be unborn.
Amen.
Everybody understand that? Now, he even replaces our sin with righteousness. God not only covers our sin, forgives it, takes it away, he adds the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our account. It's called imputing his righteousness. God imputes Jesus' record onto our life. Jesus takes our record and puts it on his life, and it's covered by the blood. So all of the righteousness necessary for us to go to heaven was given to us by Jesus Christ, not by ourselves. We are not saved by our righteousness in any way. That means this, you can't be unsaved by your lack of righteousness. Once you're saved, it's done.
Amen.
Now, here's the problem. Our spirit is born by God's spirit, but our body and our soul have a different father. You see, when you got saved, God loved you so much that he had to adopt us, body and soul, not just spirit. That's what Romans chapter 8 is all about. We'll get to that in a minute. But realize something. Your body and your soul have a different father than your spirit. Now, here we go. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 15. And I taught on this when we were teaching on Wednesday night in the book of Romans, but just a quick review very quickly. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15. Let's start in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God said those that believe on his name are his sons, correct? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba there means daddy, basically. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now look at me. When you get saved, God is your Father. He comes with that. Your spirit is born again. He comes with a legal document of adoption, and he adopts our soul and our body. When you get saved, God wants all of you saved, not just part of you. But watch this. Your body and your soul still have a father opposite God. The devil is our father. I'm not talking about your physical father, but he is the father of our body and our soul. And guess what? He is the one that goes to our new father and accuses us of our sin. We read here in Revelation chapter 12, look at it again, verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now look at me. The devil is in heaven today. And he is, by the way, I want you to notice something. It does not say he's the false accuser. It doesn't say the devil sitting there lying about you. He's telling God all the bad things you're doing. He's telling God about all the sins that we are committing. It doesn't say the false accuser. It says the accuser. The devil's up there saying, see, I told you they're not as good as you think they are. I know, I was their dad. But you happen to have Jesus sitting there as a mediator, and he's saying, Father, it's under the blood. And God looks at the devil and says, I don't know what you're talking about, old smutty face. All I see is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You must have your facts wrong. Can you imagine how frustrated the devil must be? These are not false accusations. These are our true sins. But Jesus is seated by the Father as our mediator and advocate. And he points to his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven and tells the Father that justice has been satisfied and the penalty for that sin has been cared for. And guess what? There is no punishment for it. There is no condemnation. We're not held liable because of the price already being paid, and every sin, no matter how bad, is covered. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Later, not right now, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that believe. Amen. There is no condemnation. That means no matter what you do, God is not holding it against you. Now, The father tells the devil his accusations are worthless. Get out of there.
Amen.
Now, because the devil cannot make headway with God, he sends his little imps to us. Yeah. He tries to throw a guilt trip on us. The devil sends his little demons and his accusers and says, look, the devil was your original dad. He knows how bad you really are. You're not as good as you think you are. You're not as good a Christian as you think. And we begin to feel guilty and unworthy to be a Christian. Now watch this. He hopes that he can discourage us and keep us from serving God as we should. He constantly is trying to remind us of our past. He's constantly trying to remind us of our past. Now, I need you to pay attention to me. Please be still and quiet. By the way, listen to this statement. This is why psychology is evil and wrong. Man's psychology, listen to me, is all about going to your past to blame what's wrong in your present. Well, your dad didn't take you to enough ball games when you were a boy. That's why you're a mass murderer. Your mama didn't burp you on the right side, so that's why you're a drug addict. I'm not kidding. Man is stupid. Your present sin has nothing to do with your past. You're a sinner by choice, not by training. You know, nobody taught you to lie. That's why you do it so much. You know, you don't have to teach a child to lie. You got to teach a child to tell the truth. See why? Because the Bible says they come forth from the womb lying. Trust me, you wait till 2 o'clock in the morning and that thing starts screaming. You think it's dying. It's fine. It just wants attention. It's been fed. It's been lubed. It's been changed. There ain't nothing wrong with it, but it's still squawking. It's lying. Everybody doing okay? By the way, it's the illustration I often use. You can't live life looking in the rearview mirror. If you're constantly looking back, you're going to crash in your present. You're going to miss the blessing of the future. Well, I just wish my kids were little again. Not me. Thank God they're done. I don't want to go through that again. Well, they were just, yeah, you get to a point in life where you don't want to do that anymore. Everybody doing okay? Now, this is where we're going to transition into the real sermon. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him it's because you had him as a father and you were listening to him. And while you're at it, remind him that your new father doesn't care because he already took care of it. He already paid the price for it. You know, sometimes when the devil sneaks in and says, you shouldn't be, I get angry at the devil. I just say, shut up! The only reason I'm thinking that way right now is because I'm listening to you. You didn't want me bad enough, but he did. You're not my daddy anymore. I got God. I'm not listening to you. And I go forward. I don't listen to the past. You see, tell him you don't want anything to do with what he has to say. You're putting all your trust in your new daddy, not your old one. Now, how do we tell our old father to take a hike when he accuses us? That's the nicest way to know how to say it. I'm going to give you 3 thoughts tonight to help you. How do we tell that old nasty accuser, our old father, How do we tell him to quit bothering us and to leave us alone? And how do we not listen to it? Number one, when the devil reminds you of your past, this is my favorite, remind him of his future. Yeah. When the old devil starts creeping in, I just look at him and say, what in the world are you doing here? You're going to be in hell. You want to accuse me? I got saved. I didn't get kicked out of heaven. You did. Nah, 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 nah. I had enough sense to get saved and listen to God, not rebel against him. And guess where you're going? It's going to be hot. I don't listen to the stinking devil. I don't listen to the accusations. When the devil points to your past, point to his future eternity. Then point him to your eternity. Your eternity is in heaven with the Heavenly Father. No sin. There's going to be no pain, no sorrow, no grief, nothing like that. And yet he will be burning in hell for eternity. I don't know about you. I don't stay discouraged very long when I start thinking that way. Point him to his future. Say, what is his future? Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I want you to follow with me very quickly here. Now, are these man's words or are these God's words? God's words, all right? So this is God speaking, correct? All right, now watch this. Verse number one. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand, and laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That's while we're during the millennium. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nation, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. Sounds like Kamala and the press are going to follow. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. By the way, Gog is Germany. Magog is Moscow. To gather them together to battle, to number whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And the beloved city and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil deceived them that was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. That's Nancy Pelosi. And shall torment day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the devil's future. So what in the world do we have to be afraid of, and why in the world do we want to listen to him? Why in the world do we want to listen to the accuser tell us something when that's his end? Do you want to listen to somebody that's the head of hell? Headed to hell? I know I don't. Why should we listen to anyone who is as guilty, wrong, evil, and destructive as the devil? Can I tell you something? He is the father of all lies. Even when he's telling the truth, there's a lie behind it. Because he's going to say, well, you can't do anything for God. Guess what? He's a liar. If God says you can do something, I guess you can do it. Then why do we listen to the accuser so much? Can I tell you something? Even in personal battles, why do we listen to the accuser so much? We seem to focus on the attack and the attacker. How about we focus on all the good that's been done and don't worry about it? I've learned to let the accusations roll. I can't live above accusation, but I can live above reproach. I have people say things all the time about me that aren't true. Can I tell you something? I don't care. I don't listen to it. I don't go to Facebook to suck it down. I don't go to Twitter or anything else. I don't read it. When people call and tell me something, I don't listen to it. There's an off button or a hang up button there for a reason. You say, why? Because I'm not going to listen to it. Boy, that's good. When Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future and remind him of your future. Folks, do you realize if you're saved, when you die, you're going to heaven?
Amen.
There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more bills, no more federal or state or county governments, no more taxes. Yeah, no more Democrats. No more anything like that. There'll be nothing that will be wrong there. It's only God and the city of God and the government of God. What in the world? Why are we listening to the stinking devil? Number two. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of God's forgiveness. Not just your future, but remind him of God's forgiveness to you. Turn to 1 John chapter 1, just back a few pages. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, does it say your happiness? No, it says joy. That means having the right attitude in the face of opposition, right? So in other words, joy means somebody's opposing you. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Guess what? God knows we're sinners. But he said, if you confessed your sin and you've gotten saved, guess what? Your sin's not going to be held against you. If you say you've never sinned and your sin isn't bad enough, guess what? You deceive yourself and make God a liar. Because that's you trying to get to heaven on your righteousness, not his righteousness. Guess what? God knows we're a sinner. But he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 4. First John chapter 3, look at verse number 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, stop for a second. How many of you have sinned? Raise your hand. I guess that's all of us, right? Here we go, verse number 5. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for a seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, that did not say that whoever gets saved is not a sinner. But what it says is that your sin, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, will never be held against you. In God's standing, you have never sinned. His forgiveness covers it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know when you stand before God and the books are open, there'll be no sin on it because the blood will be there covering it? The word forgive, the very nature of the word itself, for, the actual root of the word is give. Forgive is a prefix for, which means before. The word forgive means give before. To forgive means before the offense, it was covered. When somebody asked you to forgive them, it was to be given before it was ever asked for. It was to be in place before the offense ever came. I've decided that if somebody does something to wrong me here at the church, I forgive them before they ever have committed it. And it's okay. You say, why, preacher? Because that's what real forgiveness is. It is given before the offense. It's a reservoir, all saved up, ready to go. It doesn't have to be asked for. It's already been given. Did you know that forgiveness is not for the one that did wrong? Forgiveness is for the one who was wronged. Listen to me. If I do something wrong to Brother Lopez, I ask him to forgive me. It's not for my sake that he's to forgive me. He's to forgive me for his sake. Because if he doesn't, that's where bitterness comes in. God is the one doing the forgiving. That means this. It's not for our sake. It's for his. It's so that he doesn't get angry and mad and bitter because we've wronged him. He said, no, I have it all saved up. It's already given in advance. And it's there as soon as you ask for it. It's already been done before you asked. That's biblical forgiveness. We heard in the missionary letter how a young lady wanted her dad to get saved, but he wouldn't listen to it. God wanted him saved. Just needed somebody to present the gospel. After a clear presentation of the gospel, he bowed his head and trusted Christ as a Savior. Guess what? The forgiveness was waiting on him. He just had to catch up to it. Amen. Forgiveness is for the one who has had something wrong done to them. It's not for the wrongdoer. In America, we have this thing backwards. We think somebody has to ask us to forgive them so that they can be cleared. No, the forgiveness is for our sake, not theirs. It is not for the wrongdoer, it's for us. Say, well, what if somebody murdered somebody in your family? Could you forgive them? Yes, I can. Doesn't mean I'll trust them, but I could forgive them. Say, how? Because it has to be stored up in advance, knowing that it could take place. I didn't say I wouldn't ask for justice. Forgiveness doesn't mean you take punishment away. Forgiveness means I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to allow their wrong to destroy me. Boy, that's good stuff. God's forgiveness is as eternal as God is. Did you hear that? God's forgiveness is as eternal as God is. That means this: when the accuser starts running his big fat mouth in heaven against us, guess what? God says, I already forgave him. It's not there. I wrote a note here. I'm going to give you a statement. Everybody look at me for a second. When the devil's accusing us, you already have God's forgiveness. Why do you want the devil's forgiveness? Amen. Amazing how we want the devil to forgive us so he'll leave us alone. Ain't going to happen. Quit seeking the devil's forgiveness. You forgive and don't worry about it. I don't need the devil's forgiveness. He's going to hell. I got God's forgiveness. That covers me for eternity. I'll satisfy myself with that. Amen. So, number one, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of your future and his future. Number two, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of God's forgiveness. It's eternal and it's never ending, and you don't need the devil's forgiveness. All you need is God's. Amen. Number three, I'm about to shout. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him that Jesus is coming back at the rapture to take us out of this mess.
Amen.
And if you die, you wake up in heaven. You pass from death to life, not life to death. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's after the book of Psalms. Way after. That was funny, Brother Anthony, by the way. First time you said something funny. No, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But it would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as those which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of our Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Can I tell you something? When the devil starts accusing you of some of the things in your past, remind him you're going up in the rapture, or when you die, you're going to heaven. By the way, once you get there, there's something called the marriage feast of the Lamb and the Bema seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. And at that judgment is where we receive our reward for what we did here on earth. That's where that's where we receive our rank. That's where we find out what our duties will be in the kingdom here during the millennium, and what our duties will be and what rank we will have, like you would in the military, so to speak. That's what we're working towards. I'm asking God for the panhandle of West Virginia. Amen. I know some county officials that are going to be cleaning septic tanks with their own toothbrush, but that's where we get our rank, and that's where we have the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's where the marriage of the Lamb, and that's where we all be. By the way, it's not the rapture of the church. Mr. Schofield's wrong when he calls it the rapture of the church. The church is a local called out assembly, and everybody hadn't been called out until we get there. It is the rapture of the saved, not the rapture of the church. Everybody doing okay? We don't become a bride until we get to heaven. We're not the bride of Christ yet. We're betrothed, but we're not his bride yet. We haven't had the marriage yet. That's not till after the rapture. Now, after 7 years in heaven, we're going to come back and rule this world instead of the devil. Did you know what the devil's in control of right now during the millennium? We're going to run it. And Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and we'll answer to him and run it his way. This world will be run for the first time in history since the fall of man the way God wanted it run. Amen. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. You say, who are we going to rule and reign? Everybody that was left after the tribulation. There will be billions of people still here on earth. Yeah. Billions. We will come back and we will run the cities and the countries and everything, and we will answer to Jesus Christ sitting in Jerusalem on the throne of David. By the way, that's why all the Muslims are upset and trying to destroy Israel right now. They want control of it. Guess what? I know who's coming. Antichrist is going to set up there. Hang on. Satan will lose control of the earth. Satan will have no power over the earth. There's something the scripture says, he's the prince and power of the air. It's called the news media. Ephesians 6 talks about principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the devil. Now, let me help you with something. I have no idea what November, what is it, 5th or whatever the day is for the election, what it will hold. Say, well, preacher, what if God-awful thing takes place and certain candidate gets in? Can I tell you something? It just means that the rapture is that much closer. That's all I can tell you. I'm not going to be happy about it, but I'm not going to be distraught. You think I'm going to let an election destroy my Christianity? No. That means I'm just going to pedal to the metal, hair on fire, here we go, give it all I got, because I know Jesus is just around the corner. Amen. He's coming back and he ain't happy. He's going to take his bride out. He's going to take the Christians out. We'll become his bride. We'll have a party for a while. We'll get our rank. The Antichrist will set up and get things going, and then he's going to place judgment for 3.5 years on this earth. And at the end of that, there's going to be an end time, not an end time battle, but end of the tribulation battle, the battle of Armageddon. And we're going to come back on white horses and watch Jesus destroy the devil and the world's armies. China, Russia, Europe, part of Africa will all converge there in Israel in the valley of Megiddo. And Jesus, with the word of God, the sword that proceedeth out of his mouth, will put them down. Amen. To where the blood will rise to the bridle of a horse. That's pretty deep. Bible says it'll be so full of bodies. By the way, that valley is about 20 some miles across. Imagine blood shoulder deep, 20 miles across. The death and the stink will be so bad, and there'll be so many bodies that the animals can't even eat all the carcasses. Say, what are they going to do with it? That's where we're going to put the leftovers and make the liberals clean it up after we take over. Amen. I'm going to make Jefferson County permit people go first. Can I tell you something? Let's not worry about the old accuser. When he starts accusing, why do we get so upset? Why do we get so bummed out? Why do we let it affect us so much? I'll be honest with you. I don't like attacks. Nobody likes them. But can I tell you something? You ignore them long enough, they go away. If you quit reading them, you don't know they're there. I have to have people come tell me I'm in a battle because I don't know it. I'm thinking, yeah, I know. I've been fighting the devil a long time. I just don't pay attention to it. You say, why, preacher? Because it's just the old accuser. He's trying to remind me of my past. I'm going to remind him of his future. And by the way, why should I worry about it? Jesus is coming. Or this old body's going to give out, going to die and go to heaven and not worry about it. It's all going to be okay. Child of God, don't let the accuser destroy your life. Don't let the accuser get to you. Don't live discouraged by the accusers. Let's shut the accusers up. And I just gave you the recipe from God's word how to do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many times we've tried to do this in our own flesh and we get discouraged. Let's shut the mouth of the accuser of the brethren. God's going to shut him up one day. He's going to be in hell. Don't you worry. You let God take care of it. Vengeance is his. He will repay, saith the Lord.